This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Hugging is free and a common way to comfort people in spiritual settings, but social distancing has changed all that. WHYY's Zoe Reed has more.
Michael Beale says he feels emotionally mute. The Wilmington rabbi's work often revolves around the notion that 80% of communication is nonverbal. He comforts someone through difficult times with a hug, a touch on the shoulder, or holding their hand. But COVID-19 has forced Beals into his home office, leading services for Congregation Beth Shalom virtually.
I feel like I've had my wings clipped, but I don't want to put my needs above the needs of the health concerns, my congregants, and the medical healthcare professionals. So I'm a bit of a Luddite, and the technology makes me a little anxious. But I'm trying to fight my own fears because I know that Zoom technology is probably the most useful way of helping my congregants. But it doesn't really quite make up for what I could do in terms of my pastoral care if it's able to do face-to-face visits.
Touch is a critical component of religious leaders' work, from consoling grievers at funerals, to holding a hospital patient's hand, to a joyful greeting at a weekly service. But social distancing measures leave religious leaders trying to provide comfort, peace, and spiritual healing from at least 6 feet away. Keon Giroux is the pastor for Catalyst Church in Philadelphia.
It is a part of the very fabric and DNA of what it means to be a minister, to fellowship with, to touch, to comfort, to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. And so coronavirus has literally completely augmented the way we do touch and feeling and how it is that we comfort people.
Reverend Jason Churchill, pastor for St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Wilmington, says it's especially hard to keep his distance at funerals.
I just did a graveside service last week, and it was a struggle to stand on one end of the casket and not able to go to the other end and hug and console the mourners. And the irony of the distance being created by a 6-foot grave and, you know, right in front of you. That didn't escape me at all.
The cold atmosphere is made worse by the requirement to wear a mask, says Rabbi Beals.
Now you're cutting my expression off from the bottom of my nose to my chin. So all I've got are my eyes, and I'm doing everything I can with my eyes. You know, I name it, and I say this feels awful. You know I want to hug you more than anything. So if I actually name the thing that I can't do, rather than just ignoring it, so that we're all validating the same feelings.
Coronavirus is also changing the way religious leaders minister at hospitals, says Camille Turner, a chaplain for Penn Medicine.
Showing up to the visual and physical reminder that we are not alone in this process, that death doesn't have to be terrifying.
No longer able to visit hospital rooms, Turner calls patients on the phone, listening more intently than ever before.
In the past, it was like, did the prayer resonate? We brought flowers or we performed a ceremony. Did that actually create some comfort? Now we're saying, was the telephone connection clear enough? And did the patient actually hear clearly what we were saying or what the family member was saying?
Religious leaders say while social distancing is challenging, they see it as a blessing that forces people to be more deliberate when caring for others. Reverend Mark Tyler, pastor at Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia, says his church set up a phone tree so congregants get checked on regularly. And attendance of his weekly services increased from the hundreds in the pews to the thousands since going virtual, complete with the ability for congregants to say hi to each other from their computers.
It also feels like this is as close as we have been in a long time. We're trying to make sure that every member gets a phone call once a week, that everyone is touched and, you know, make sure people are not falling through the cracks.
Tyler and other religious leaders say they're looking forward to when they can fellowship in person, but are thinking of safety measures they'll need in place. That could mean seating the choir separately or having congregants dip their communion bread into their own cups rather than sharing one. They also say even once given the all clear to resume normal services, some may be reluctant to shake hands or hug the way they did before. From the Delaware Desk, Zoe Reed, WHYY News.